Here's what you can look forward to on this episode of the Nice Guys on Business.
Well, you know, there's a process to it. In simple terms, it's all about saying the right things in the right sequence. The very, very, very first step is you really got to figure out who are your best clients, right? So whenever, students come on and work with me, I sit down with them and I'm like, okay, who do you work with? A lot of times they don't even know who their target audience is. So we really need to figure out who you really want to reach out to, who's going to be the best client for what you offer, because that's going to be the lowest hanging fruit. Then once we figure that out, everything else that we do, like the copy, everything that we write, revolves around who we're targeting.
Do you you have an iPhone or something inferior?
I have the Galaxy S7. I had an iPhone for a while, but I actually hated it. So I was happy when I lost it and I went back to Android.
Hello. My name is Inigo Montoya. You killed Strickland. Prepare to celebrate.
Need an education on how to grow your business? The Nice Guys are here to help. Learn about great customer service, networking, and how just being nice can help you prosper. Now, here are your hosts, Doug Sandler and Strickland Bonner.
I'm welcoming back.
Hey, Doug, thank you for doing that. Appreciate you taking care of that for me.
You were busy drinking.
Sorry. Hold on.
See,
my rum and coke.
You're
drinking your Paloma
so early in the morning. Before me, did you know what a Paloma was?
No idea. And you know what? Since you, I still don't give a shit.
Wow. Okay.
We do have an interview today.
Focus, guys. Focus.
I'm not going to play it again. I'm already beating that dead horse of Mar and the Drop, and I don't want to burn it out because it's so goddamn funny.
Hey, Strick, remember when I said I'm going to let you handle this so we can stay on track for this introduction so we don't go off topic? We haven't even gotten on topic yet, and we're already 60 seconds in, so I'm going to let you start.
Ximena Cortez, if you don't know what you're doing with LinkedIn, Ximena can help you. If you think you know what you're doing with LinkedIn, you don't. You need to talk to Ximena. Ximena-Cortez. Oh, no, I'm sorry. That's her. That's
wait,
let's get this on her website. I'm on her website and I'm looking at the wrong thing. It's Ximena Cortez. Ximena Cortez.
You know,
now I'm looking at it. I can't say it.
You know what we're going to do?
Ximenacortez.com
is
the website.
We're going to put a link in the show notes just because Strickland has completely butchered the, got it.
I have. She is a speaker and like she knows LinkedIn. She knows how to work it. She knows how to get leads. She knows how to make it happen.
Well, that is the master of her domain. She is the master in expert. She's an expert in lead generation, SEO. She's a professional speaker. Really good connector. That is where she has really made her inroads is making sure that people understand how to generate leads. She does it through LinkedIn using the search mechanism. She's got a whole system in place and pretty cool. I mean, really interesting interview. Very neat system that she's put together. And I was very interested in hearing more about how she's created an additional six figures in her. Can you imagine adding six figures to your income, Strick?
That would be amazing.
That would be six figures you've added to your income.
Exactly. I would. And you know where she lives?
No, I don't know where she lives. How do you know where she lives?
Las Vegas.
Oh, she lives in Vegas.
Yeah.
So have you had any personal experience with visiting?
No, I have not. Maybe next time I go out there, I'll have to go say hi to her.
Yeah, maybe so. Before we get to the interview, just a really, just a couple of quick housekeeping mentions. Hey, did we figure out, I guess we talked about this yesterday, who won the bingo competition? Yeah, we did talk about the yesterday, as a matter of fact.
Yes,
but if you are listening on Overcast, please take a moment, recommend, just hit the little star button right under the little, right to the left of the play button, I think it is. Let me just
you
check
see it
that
there
out.
On Overcast? It's right there.
Let me look at that for a second. I think it is to the left. Let me look. I just want to see what that looks like when I hit the play button. Yeah, it's the button just to the left. Hey, funny thing, I've recommended every episode. Have you guys? If you haven't recommended every episode on Overcast, could you just do us a favor and go through all of the last, let's say, 15 or 20? It'll
so
literally take you 60 seconds to do it. We see a direct correlation between being ranked number one and the amount of recommendations that we get on Overcast. So do that.
Guys don't want to miss any of the episode, you know, while you're doing that. So, you know, don't worry about it. Hold on. We'll wait.
Oh, we're just going to pause. Sorry.
Although, you know, it's really not fair to the people who actually have already done the recommending that they have to listen to this music. So maybe
Strick? Yeah. That's no one. So could you please?
Yeah. Well, no, that's not true. We do have we're still number one in business on Overcast somehow, and we're pretty high in the recommend. We're just not as high as we were.
Somehow. I love it. Well, we did talk about all the stats yesterday, and we did get to that thing that we'd said that we were going to get to that we haven't done in the last several months, which is our Amazon purchases of the
Amazon
week.
Amazon purchase of the week, yeah.
Yeah, can we do that like first thing? We did that first thing, I believe.
We did it first thing Tuesday, yes.
Okay, all right. So let's get to the interview with Ximena Cortez. She is here, and we had a good time interviewing her. We are affiliated with the C-Suite Radio Network, and are we still affiliated with the Greatness Podcast Network?
Why don't you ask him? Because I know we have a site, we have a page on the site, and we have our logo.
Words.
But there's no way to actually get to our show from that link.
Chris, you silly man. We are waiting for you. You know, we'll be patient for maybe the next two episodes.
Chris, you know what we're hearing right now?
What
we're hearing? That's what we're hearing. Technical difficulties from the Greatness Podcast Network.
I think that Chris should focus, don't you, Strickland?
Yes, I'm not going to play the drop. I don't want to waste it. We're going to get burned out on it if I play it again.
I like getting burned out really quick on things.
Come on, focus, guys. Focus.
We do, of course, have Mara, our executive producer, sitting in today. She's being silent as normal because, you know what? We haven't given her a moment to chime in. But I'm sure she'll be chiming in on the Tuesday and Thursday. Well, she chimed in yesterday, I know.
I think she chimed in a little bit yesterday. Not a lot, she did a little bit.
She'll come back on Thursday, I promise. She'll come back tomorrow. Okay, let's get to the interview with Ximena Cortez. We are the Nice Guys on Business Podcast. Let's do it right here. If you've ever been curious about the how-tos of effectively using LinkedIn, including some of the insider secrets to maximizing your potential and actually getting dollars out of the social channel, Ximena Cortez is here to share, and she is definitely an expert when it comes to lead generation, SEO. She's a professional speaker. She's an all-around. She's an excellent connector, at least what I am finding as I'm doing a little investigation on her on the internet. You know that thing that we use now? It's called the internet. Nice guy community. Welcome, Ximena, and welcome to the Nice Guys on Business podcast.
Hey, Doug. Thanks so much for having me here.
It is my pleasure. I'm happy to have you here, and I'm happy to talk about a subject that I gotta be honest, I really don't know a lot about. You know, and I'm finding that's probably a pretty common, you know, isn't like LinkedIn just the Facebook for business people? And that's what I keep thinking. I'm thinking, okay, well, how do I use it? It's a really interesting arena, but it's one that's wrought with so much noise out there. So why don't you share with the Nice Guy community a little bit about what you do, and then we'll kind of get it a little bit more into the specifics then. Is that cool?
Yeah, you know, that's a very common thing to hear that, you know, LinkedIn's there, you know it's for business, but you don't know what to do. So what most people do is they just end up doing nothing at all. And, you know, it's such a shame because LinkedIn is such a hidden gold mine. And I just want to start with a quick story of how I really discovered it for my own business because it really came out of necessity. So I started a company back in 2012. I've been doing internet marketing since 2008, mainly working for other companies, and that's how I got my experience. So through like in my own spare time, so what I was doing was a lot of media buying. So I was buying traffic for advertisers on all kinds of different websites and, you know, running campaigns like that. And we were managing ad spends of anywhere from $200,000 to $400,000 a month.
Mm-hmm.
So, but during that time, I also got interested in organic traffic. So that's like, you know, coming up at the top of Google, and Google ranks you there. So, you know, SEO for the actual technical term, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, I got really good at SEO, and I was like, you know, with all these skills I have, I'm just going to go off and start my own company. So in 2012, I'm like, I'm so confident, and I start my company. And what I didn't realize was, while I'm really good at getting websites to the top of Google, I wasn't so good at getting clients to pay me for that service.
Right. Or when you get people to come to your website, it's like, okay, well, now what I do with them? I got the traffic. I can't figure out how to convert it. Okay. This is interesting. I find that a lot of people that I talk to are in this spot. They've kind of learned some of the tricks to SEO, and then the conversion part they fall apart in. So keep going. I'm enjoying this.
Yeah, so 6 months go by, you know, and I had about like a 3 month buffer, right, with unemployment. But so now I'm at the 6 month mark, and in 6 months, guess how many clients I was able to get?
I'm going to go with zero. How many?
Gee, you have no confidence in me.
No, I do, but the story is leading up to, I don't think this is going to have a happy ending. But maybe it does. Tell me what you did. How many did you have?
Well, I had one, but okay. One was not going to pay the bills.
Right.
So, you know, so I was like, you know what, forget it. I'm just going to go get a marketing job that pays well.
I'm going to go back to corporate world. I love that. When all else fails, rely on somebody else to pay me.
Yeah, I might as well. It's a good client to have, right? But
right.
So I'm using LinkedIn, right? So I'm using all these websites to look for jobs and apply and start using LinkedIn. And I'm like, you know, the people that I wish I was having conversations with about their SEO campaigns, there's thousands of them here, because at the time I was targeting doctors and lawyers.
Mm-hmm.
And what I was doing to try to go get clients is I was going to like a lot of business networking events and things like that. But the challenge with that is you're limited by the people that, for example, are in that geographic area that decided to show up to that event. And then everybody's there trying to pitch you their services too. So it's kind of terrible. But
yeah.
On LinkedIn, I can be laser specific as to what kind of attorneys I want to work with, what kind of doctors I want to work with. So, you know, at this point, I have nothing to lose. So I start connecting with all these different people. I start having conversations. And within 2 weeks of doing that, I got my next SEO client. The guy is still with me today. He's an estate planning attorney. Super great guy. He's referred me a ton of business.
All right. So wait, before you even move on. So let me just understand this. So you say you're able to laser focus on the exact market that you want. So, and your market was attorneys and doctors. So specifically the products and services that you were offering, which is helping people rank higher on SEO, was being the thing that was the product and the target that you had was doctors and lawyers. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. All right. I just want to make sure I completely understood that. How do you do that? I mean, how do you just use the search box, or is there something is there something specific in place to do that?
Yeah. Well, I mean, back then you could just use the regular search and it was free. Now today, you know, 5 years later, LinkedIn has changed a lot. So when we do this now, we use the Sales Navigator.
Okay. So take me from there. So now you've landed, you have your one client, and now you've landed one through this fine-tuned targeting, which you discovered, it sounds like, because you were looking for a job.
Right.
Okay. So you said, holy shit, there's actually a search thing that could actually help me target on specific industries. And that's where you found your second client, because you had one before, and
right.
Now you had a second one. Okay. Take me from there.
Yeah, so when I saw how much easier and quicker that was than everything else I was doing, I just decided to focus on getting my clients through LinkedIn and grew my business that way. So 5 years later, I did not have to go get a job. I was able to get more clients that way, grew my business to six figures, really great living, and making way more money than I was before, especially at a job.
Okay.
And so,
all right. Well, hold on. You took a huge step. That was a huge step. You go from two clients to 5 years later. And in the meantime, I'm thinking, well, how did you pay your bills with two clients? Because that still wasn't enough to pay your bills. So how did the gradual, was it through trial and error, you figuring out something? I'm assuming that
yeah.
you have some system that you've created that's amazing. And I'm sure it is amazing if you've been able to stay out of regular employment for 5 years. So how did you get from two clients? How do you now find the third client? Rinse and repeat? Just the same thing that
Yeah, it was basically I just kept doing the same thing. I kept connecting with people on LinkedIn, sharing content, having conversations, getting them off LinkedIn onto the phone, and then I was just getting clients that way. So now, just by following that process, which I discovered, I mean, I fine-tuned it over the years.
Yeah,
LinkedIn has changed over the years, but that's still to this day our number one resource for getting high-value clients into our company. You know, we get referrals and stuff here and there, but you can't rely on referrals. That it comes and goes here and there, you know. But we're consistently, like, I have leads coming in every single week, mostly multi-million-dollar medical companies right now, and that's who we're working with as clients, because I can, again, be able to laser target them and find them on LinkedIn, have conversations, and get them as a client.
Okay, so it sounds like what's really cool about it sounds like you're using some level of search mechanism in order to find the industry or get you know drilled down to the specific industry that you're looking at. But your goal is not to have this entire process automated. It's still about engagement. It's still about building relationships. It's still about
yeah.
building trust. So
yeah.
So how do you go? So what? Give me a little bit more meat. I'm very curious. How do you go from the search box to getting them on on the phone? Is it because they must get bombarded? I know I do specifically, and I don't even have a paid account on LinkedIn, but I get bombarded all the time in my, whatever you call it, the in-mail or the inbox.
Yeah.
Everybody is prospecting. How do you craft a good letter? How do you craft an elevator pitch? What do you do to actually get them engaged?
Well, you know, there's a process to it. In simple terms, it's all about saying the right things in the right sequence. So, you know, the very, very, very first step is you really got to figure out who are your best clients, right? So whenever, you know, students come on and work with me, I sit down with them and I'm like, okay, who do you work with? A lot of times they don't even know who their target audience is. So we really need to figure out who you really want to reach out to, who's going to be the best client for what you offer.
Right.
Because that's going to be the lowest hanging fruit. Then once we figure that out, everything else that we do, like the copy, everything that we write revolves around who we're targeting. So, for example, after I figure out who I'm targeting, then you go into the profile copy and, you know, most profiles on LinkedIn, they read like resumes, but that's boring and you blend in and you sound like everybody else, right? That's what everybody else is doing.
Of course.
So in order for you to pique someone's interest in working with you, you have to stand out. You have to make yourself seem like the authority in your market, and you are the go-to guy or girl for whatever industry they're in, for whatever thing you're selling.
Okay.
So.
Oh, go ahead. I'm listening. Go ahead.
So you want to write your profile more like a sales letter. So, you know, most people's headlines, for example, they're going to say CEO of XYZ company. Well, that's boring. Sounds like everybody else. And unless XYZ company is Fortune 500, I have no clue what it does.
So when you say you write your headlines, are you talking about engagement through, this is the initial engagement that almost like it's the prospecting letter that you're writing to them. Where are you hitting them with? Are you hitting it through email?
Well,
I'm
talking about your profile. I'm just talking about
okay.
See.
All right. I got it. Okay. So right now you've dropped back. It's not, this has nothing to do with your prospecting. This has to do, you're building your credibility through your profile.
Well, that's the first step that you have to do, because when you reach out to someone, what's the first thing they're going to do?
Check your profile.
Exactly.
If they're at all interested, or if you even have a chance, they're going to see who you are. They want to know what you do and what you're all about. Is this somebody that's, if I look at somebody's profile and I see every 9 months they've changed a job, I'm like, I don't even want to deal with them, you know, because I'm feeling like I might be a client of theirs for 6 months, 8 months, and they're going to be gone.
Yeah.
Okay, I got it. Okay, so your profile is ultimately very important, it sounds like.
It's very important, because when you don't do this part right, everything else, even if you follow the other process I'm going to talk to you about, you're not going to get as good results. I've tested it. And you want to think of your profile as like your wardrobe when you're going to a business networking event. The more successful, the nicer your clothes look, the more people are going to be attracted to you. So you're doing the same. And the way that you do that on social media, for example, is through compelling copy. And also, if you can add media to your profile, like video testimonials from your clients and things like that, that also helps in your credibility.
Interesting. Okay, so we've built a credible profile. So now take me through some of the prospecting aspects of what you do. Or is it too complex to break it down into that simple science?
No, I mean, it's very simple, because you already know who you want to go after. So it's just a matter of, you know, looking at the different ways that you can target someone and really getting clear as to who your audience is. So you can target people by geography. So if my customers are only the United States or only in a certain city, I can target that. If there's a certain job title like CEO, CFO, HR manager, you know, all these different people, if they're in a particular industry, you can target by industry, by company size, by what groups and interests that these people have. So you have a lot of different targeting options. So once you figure out who your ideal client is, now it's just a matter of reaching out to them. The better your profile looks, the more people that are going to accept your request to connect, because you want to impress them. You're trying to do business with these people. So that's why the profile is so important.
So you reach out.
Yeah, go ahead.
No. I was gonna say just continue on with that. But it's interesting that most people, it looks like, I mean, it almost seems like they have an okay profile, but it's not. It's nothing like jazzy. Are there certain really effective words that you can use, or is there like a glossary of terms that you can use for LinkedIn favorite words, or you know, these are the ones that are most effective in somebody's profile?
Well, it's not so much a particular word per se. It's more like this whole psychology behind it. So. You know, I've written my profile very result oriented, because I'm trying to get people to hire me for our marketing services. So what I do is I talk about the successes I've had in marketing campaigns for some of our clients, because at the end of the day, that's what people are paying us for that result.
Yeah, Ximena, so, I noticed on your website, your case studies, the ones that that are your clients, they are truly incredible. I mean, I was stuck on that page on your website because I kept seeing, wow, she's got some huge results and so many happy customers. And yeah, it totally makes sense. I mean, you can't show me 50 clients that are happy and think, well, this chick is just bullshitting me. I mean, that's not what it comes down to. What it comes down to is the people that are on your website, there's just too many for you to be BSing. You know, it's right. Too real. So not too real, but you know what I mean? It's just so incredible, huge results. And I loved that page. It's almost like I want you to put that page as your homepage, because that's the one people are like, holy shit, she really does a good job with us. And they're all very believable too. So I know that you've effectively used that, but I would tell you, you know, hats off, very good job of making good use of the people that are your clients.
Thank you. And you know, there's also a methodology to getting the correct testimonial and case study from them, because most people will say something really boring like, oh yeah, you know, I worked with this person. They did a great job for me. I was very happy.
Right.
Well, okay.
It doesn't say anything.
I don't know what happened. So right. I always drill my clients like, hey, how many leads did you get? What did you make off of it? And in what time frame?
Yes.
So one that I haven't posted yet, because this one is recent. We have a medical company that we're working with. They sell like a digital equipment. It's like, you know, $400,000 for a machine.
Yeah.
So in the 90 days that we have been working with them, generating leads through LinkedIn, they already have 6 contracts in the works. So
oh my gosh, $2.4 million.
$2.4 million worth of contracts from the leads that we got for them.
That's ridiculous. And thinking about their market is so micro niche. I mean, so small. It's got to be. You can probably name the amount of people that could buy their services in their regional area, probably on, you know, in the dozens rather than in the thousands or in the tens of thousands.
Yeah. I mean, there was a few thousand leads that we could go after for them in particular. So there will come a point where we have to stop the campaign, not because it doesn't work, just because we don't have anyone else to contact. But,
right,
you know, I mean, it's worked out pretty good for them, I would say.
Do you find, maybe I'm asking you a softball question here, but are you finding that in the legal and the medical profession, this is just easier than any other profession? Or is this, or, you know, I don't know. Would this work for every industry?
It does. And here's the thing. Like, it has to – you have to be really clear about who your audience is. So, like, for me, working with certain kind of industries is just easier because I don't have to figure out their target audience. Only one type of person can buy their product, right?
Okay, right,
so
right, exactly.
Those are really easy to do because at least we know who we're targeting. So if a campaign doesn't work, well, we have to change the copy. So the messages,
right,
and the profile,
right,
and all that. So that makes it simple. Where it becomes a little bit more challenging is where the target audience is really not really well defined.
Well defined.
So when I work with like a coach or a consultant, there was one coach that we're working with that really took a long time to get the campaign up and going because we kept trying different audiences and what he thought would work didn't work. And then finally somebody that we connected with him on LinkedIn was like, hey, you should try this. And we tried that and it just went crazy. It just took off like crazy.
So you hit the right formula for somebody like that that had he didn't really know what he wanted when he first came to you, but you guys kind of figured it out together.
Yeah, like over time. It was frustrating, but we figured it out.
do you think this will work? I mean, we have a product that is specifically for podcasters. It would seem to me that would be a really, I mean, I've never used LinkedIn to market the stuff that we've done. Do you think that would be an easy something to hit upon?
How much do you sell the product for?
Oh, geez. That's a really good question. I would say somewhere between $5,000 and $10,000.
Then yes, that would be, it would be very effective for that.
What would be the no answer? What would be the thing that if I sold a $100 widget, that kind of thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because, you know, with our system that we've got, you know, down over the years, we're able to generate anywhere from 10 to 20 meetings per month per client.
Wow.
So I like to work with clients whose service or product is, you know, at least a few thousand dollars, because I know if they're paying us, you know, what would we charge, then, you know, if we get them 10 to 20 meetings and they only close 10 to 20% of that, which is very reasonable,
right,
then my client is profitable.
Wow, so. That's really great. That's really great. So what is this all about? So is there a system that you're, it sounds like it's a system that you're plugging people into that you've created. Is there a team of people that you have? Tell me the
yes.
process. So somebody works with you. How does the process kind of, just in a nutshell, how does the process work?
So when somebody works with us, the first step is, you know, we get cleared on the target audience. Then they fill out a questionnaire where we ask a lot of questions about their product, their benefits, their objections, everything that we need to know to mm-hmm. create the compelling copy. So then after that, we create the profile copy, make you stand out, be an authority, all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And then we create the drip messaging campaign, because that drip campaign, we're going to reach out to people for you Monday through Friday. And then the people that accept get put into a report, and then they get sent out these messages. And the purpose of these messages is to develop, you know, the relationship. We're not going to ask for anything at first. See, most people think social media or LinkedIn marketing doesn't work, because what they do is they connect with someone and they send a long sales pitch.
Right, exactly. That's
so
the worst thing. It's the worst thing. I just like delete, you know.
Exactly. And so that's what most people do. And that's why it says it doesn't work. It's like, no, your strategy doesn't work. It's not that, you know, the platform doesn't work. You don't work.
yeah, totally. Totally. Okay. So what happens next?
So, you know, we write those messages that pique interest, educate, and then we ask for the meeting. It's all very methodically planned out, the way that the messages are structured,
right,
in order to get those 10 to 20 appointments per month. And so my company is really like the appointment setter, I guess, you know, but
yeah,
we're using LinkedIn to do it.
It's up to the team on our side. If we
right.
hire you to actually close the deal, our services have
exactly.
to be legit, but your job is to set it up.
Right. We open the door, you close it.
Right, right. Wow, really cool. And how do you feel? I know it probably depends on the price of the product that somebody is selling, but what is it generally, if you had to put them all together and share some statistics, what do you think generally is the sales cycle for that? It looks like, in looking at many of your case studies, it's pretty fast. I mean, it's like under 3 months, I'm seeing like some major results from a lot of your clients.
Yeah, usually when we work with a client, we do at least a 3 month contract, because otherwise it's a waste of everybody's time if you're only going to do it for 1 month. The first month you probably won't get any sales.
Right.
Second and third month is really where, you know, it really starts to build up. Because sometimes the campaign takes off right away and, you know, it's great. Other times we have to go in and change a lot of things, like with that coach, for example, where we had to work with him for a while until we got it going. So
yeah. Hey, are you feeling like, knowing what you know, and it sounds like you've done some networking prior to this company starting, and then you took the digital approach, are the days of like the old school networking and shaking hands and building relationships through conversation, are those days kind of passe? I mean, taken over by funnels and lead generation systems? What do you think?
You know, I don't think there's really anything that will ever replace in-person human interaction. You do get so much more, and I've had a lot of great relationships that I've developed that have helped me in my business, you know, from events and things that I've attended.
Right.
But I personally, I prefer the digital. I feel like if I was to sit down and count how much money I've made from the connections that I've created through my digital, you know, methodologies, versus my in-person, I would say I've made a lot more through digital.
Right.
Just because I'm so targeted and all of that, and I put them through a sequence. Whereas when you meet somebody in person, you know, it's just different. You're not putting them through the sequence. It's more like it's a conversation.
Right.
So
right.
with LinkedIn, you know, especially somebody like me, like, you know, I'm very young. I look younger than I am too, which is, I mean, it's a good thing if you're a woman, but
yeah, you look about 17. You look and you sound about 17. I'm looking at some of those YouTube videos that you put together a couple of years ago. I said, how old was she? 12? I mean, no offense at all. You're gorgeous, but it was just like, oh my gosh, she's so young in that. And now even I can tell you're much more, your more recent videos, you are much more mature, not necessarily with your look, but your attitude. It's like, bitches, I got this. You know, it's like, I got this down now. It's like, I can tell you have so much confidence in what you're saying, because you're not selling. You know, the beauty of what I see that you've presented on the YouTube channel that you have and the other things that you do and in your blog and everything is that it's, you're just providing information. Listen, if right. anybody wants to buy your services, great. If they don't, fuck it. You know, it's like, whatever. Somebody's going to buy and I'm good at what I do, but you don't even have to say it because you know what? Your clients say it for you. And that's great.
Exactly. And that's why, like, I personally prefer meeting people through digital because I can showcase all that stuff instead of being judged by the way I look because I'm 30, but I look like I'm 22 and I sound like I'm 22. Right. And people tell me that. So they think, oh, she can't possibly know anything because right. she's so young.
Right.
And it's like, no, actually, I do know, you know.
So. It is a shame. It is a shame that people, not just you, but people in general, and specifically women that probably look younger, they don't get taken, they don't get taken seriously because of their voice. And, you know, I can tell if somebody looks at your video, they're going to think in 2 seconds, they're going to say, well, what the hell she can she know? She's 12. You know, it's like, no, listen to her. Just give it a minute. Just listen to what she has to say. I promise you, she's actually really good. And then look at these fucking, these testimonials that she's got on her website. She's really good at what she does. So, if our nice, sorry, I get all excited when I have somebody that actually I get on the program with me that I've had so many people come on this program. We've had this program for about 2.5 years now and we've done hundreds and hundreds of interviews and you can tell when somebody's just delivering shit to you and you can tell when somebody has got just this quiet confidence and that's where you are. So you fit into a really good zone and I appreciate you bringing that to our show rather than the, well, let me tell you about this great system that I have and it costs this amount of money and you should buy this. I can't believe you haven't done this yet. Like, I don't know what the fuck I'm doing on LinkedIn. Okay. Let's just face it. That's just where I am. Sorry. I promise nobody, you can't share this with any kids now that I've completely gone off the deep end here. So if our listeners were interested in getting a hold of you to talk more about the services that you offer, how can they do that, Ximena?
The best thing to do is just go to my website, ximenacortez.com.
Right.
And if you want to email me, you can contact me through there, connect with me on LinkedIn. I usually answer. So
That's great. And I do apologize. I think I've butchered your name about 17 times.
If you have
an easier first name, Cortez, I got that one now. I think there's some confusion with the phonetic spelling of your name. I don't seem to understand the English, the alphabet. Sorry, ABCs. I got that one down. So we got your website. We'll make sure we put all your information in the show notes. Do you have time just for a personal question or two just before we conclude?
Sure, no problem.
All right, excellent. Do you you have an iPhone or something inferior?
I have the Galaxy S7.
What the hell? All right, go to
I had an iPhone for a while, but I actually hated it. So I was happy when I lost it and I went back to Android.
I know. I asked you when you first, Nice Guy Community, this was before I hit the record button, but when you first came on the air with me, I asked you if you had a Mac or a PC and you said you had a PC and I just kind of paused. I'm like, okay, well, right, no, not everybody can be perfect. So you have a PC and you have a Galaxy. Okay. Can you go to your texting app for just a quick second?
Okay.
Tell me what is the last text message you either sent or received?
Let me see. What was it?
See that?
So what did I do with the message?
Just tell me what it was. Just read it.
I just said my last text was LOL and then a like happy face.
Okay. All right. Good. So you're a happy person. That's good. And go to your photo app. What is the last thing you either or you took a photo of?
Okay. Let's see. Oh, I don't think this is that interesting, but it's so I was in Spain last week and I took a photo of this fan that I bought because I bought it as gifts for my boyfriend's kids.
Okay, nice.
So I sent it to him to show the kids.
Nice. All right, good. So you're a giving person and a fun person as is evidenced by your text messages and your photo app. So nicely done. So I got a question for you.
I would say that's accurate.
Yeah, that's good. I could sense that from you. If you you get an invitation in the mail, so imagine for a second you're invited to this wonderful event and you get this invitation in the mail. You know, at the bottom left-hand corner or the right-hand corner, somewhere on that invitation is usually like what the dress code would be for the party. What would be the ideal dress code for you to see on that invitation?
Elegant attire.
Elegant attire. Okay, so you're like black tie is okay for you, gala gowns, that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Excellent. Excellent. Thank you so, so very much for being a part of the show. We'll make sure we put all of our information in the show notes, Ximena, and get all this great information over to our Nice Guy community. So thank you again for being on the show.
Thanks for having me. It was a pleasure.
Steve O'Brien, go ahead and take us out of here.
For the Nice Guys on Business, I'm Steve O'Brien. Fill up your week with the Nice Guys. Have fun storming the castle, boys.